KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, featuring stories of people of the valley, produced by media, communications, and journalism students at Fresno State. 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome to Fresno State Focus Radio Edition. I'm Emily Crabtree.
And I'm Dylan Gonzalez. Today, we remember a beloved baseball fan, we look back at the Kalinga earthquake, and discuss Star Wars.
Graduation is also approaching. We look back at our time here at Fresno State and what's to come ahead. But first, we'll start off with the huge need for math and science teachers here in California.
Fresno State Focus Radio Edition starts now.
With graduation season about to begin, many future educators are about to head into the classroom. Brian Welch dives into why students are not going down the math and science path of teaching.
33,000 is a huge number in any sense. According to the CSU website, that is how many math and science teachers will be needed in the next 10 years. With us being in a post-pandemic world, teachers have been on center stage and are leaving the classroom for another career or even retiring. In a study done by UCLA, teachers took a survey if they would leave their job, and 1 in 5 or 20% would leave the profession because of burnout from stress. A high school math teacher in Kalinga, Jessica Fairbanks, who has been in the classroom for 23 years, brings up there's been a new direction to get teachers into the classroom.
The employment side of things, one of the big changes I've seen is that there's a big push for teachers to come into education without their teaching credential. So we have a lot of teachers that are either interning or on an emergency permit.
Fresno State student Giselle Kemling, the next Kremen senator, mentions that many students in her education classes do not know what they want to pursue after college.
Really none. A lot of people, their focus is either elementary or they really are unsure of what they want to teach in college.
Kamling mentions that college students need more exposure to observe different grade levels in the classroom during college. According to the National Center for Education Statistics, in two school years, 8% of teachers left the profession. The CSU is trying to get one step ahead of this situation to get the next generation of math and science teachers into the classroom. Brian Welch, Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
If you want to become a math or science educator, it is never too late to go back to college to pursue your degree. Go to the Fresno State website for more information. Dylan, did you ever have a math or science teacher that was memorable to you?
I did. My freshman year of high school, I still talk to her, Miss Hurley. She's good friends with my mom. She was such a great teacher because I was really quiet in high school. She was just super nice to me. So really meant a lot. How about you?
I had a science teacher. His name was Mr. Marquez, and he was the coolest science teacher. Everyone wanted to be in his class. He was big when Google Classroom first became a big thing. He had the Google glasses where you could see the whiteboard in your glasses and all that stuff, and it was really cool to be in his class, and he had a bunch of fun learning opportunities for us that I don't think a lot of students got because they didn't have him as their teacher. So he was really helpful and taught me a lot about science that I don't think I would have known if it weren't for him.
Mm-hmm. Same for me. Like, science wasn't my favorite subject, but Miss Hurley made it enjoyable for everyone to learn. Do you really go to Fresno State if you haven't almost been run over by a scooter? On April 16th, students received an email from Fresno State President Saul Jimenez Sandoval regarding how to safely navigate campus while riding a scooter. The email mentioned that riders need to be mindful of the wheels off zones and that scooters are not allowed in classrooms. While the topic is controversial among Fresno State students who ride scooters, Valentina Saldana of the Collegian is all for the safety measures that the campus promotes. She believes that the wheels off zone is great due to it being in some of the busiest areas where students walk. Scooter collisions are rampant across campus. Emily, how do you suggest we limit them?
I think the way that we have to limit scooter collisions is by making sure that people are actually paying attention to the rules. I feel like you can say, oh, we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that, but if people aren't actually listening, then nothing's going to get done.
I feel like Sandoval does talk a lot about the rules and people just don't follow. There's so many times where I'm walking to the library, I see like 5 scooters just go past me in the wheels off zone. So people who are walking also need to pay attention as well that they aren't going to get run over.
The wheels off zone is almost completely non-existent in a way. I feel like no one really listens to the wheels off zone rules that are going on. But, you know, I think really it's just paying attention to people and your surroundings when you're on a scooter.
And then another thing that also needs to be considered is the rapid growing number of scooters being stolen.
I don't know much about this, Dylan. I won't lie. I haven't really heard about the scooter crime rate when it comes to scooters being stolen. I mean, I've seen a few of them locked up at the scooter racks, but have you heard anything about them being stolen?
Not recently. Last year when I was a contributor at the Collegian, one of my first stories was talking about scooter theft, and there's only like 5, I think, for the whole semester. So it's not as much as I feel like people might think.
And I think that's partially because people do bring them into the classrooms with them, which they're not supposed to do, but...
I can see why they do for safety reasons.
Yeah, it makes sense. And it can be a fire hazard, I could see, because in our focus classroom, it kind of takes up a good chunk of space. It's like a parking lot. So there are a good amount of scooters that end up in classrooms that can be in the way. California and earthquakes go hand in hand. There have been many over the years throughout the state. Brian Welch talks about an earthquake that struck the small town of Kalinga 41 years ago.
If you are driving west of Fresno, you will run into Kalinga, a city famous for coal and oil, yet not known for its massive earthquake 40 years ago. Over 41 years ago, May 2nd, 1983, at 4:42 p.m., the quiet little town changed forever with a 6.7 magnitude earthquake.
That was the day that, for many of us, we divide the old and the new Kalinga.
Glenn Mitchell, Kalinga resident and former educator at Kalinga High School, was at the high school when the quake shook the town.
At that time, I was working with some high school students putting together a small rock and roll combo. We were in the choir room, and we were actually practicing the song Rock Around the Clock when it happened.
The shaking of the quake was over 45 seconds. Mitchell mentions that Kalinga changed for the better with new sources of income for families after the earthquake.
It was because of the earthquake that we got enough interest from the state of California to induce them to build not one, but two correctional facilities in the area. And this provided jobs that were at the same time being lost because of a decline in production in the oil fields. So rather than people losing their jobs in the oil fields, and having to move out of town with the development of the state correctional facilities and people getting picked up there, it allowed the population of Kalinga to stabilize and then to actually start growing.
As we look back on the 41st anniversary of the Kalinga earthquake, the town shook off after the quake and is on the map to that May day that nobody will ever forget. In Kalinga, Brian Welch.
The R.C. Baker Museum in Kalinga is another place to understand the Kalinga earthquake in 1983 and also more of Kalinga's history.
To some, the fourth day of May is just a typical day that happens to be the day before Cinco de Mayo. But to Star Wars fans, the fourth day of May is the highlight of the year. I give us a closer look at the importance of May the 4th for Star Wars fans like myself. The fourth day of May, or May the 4th be with you, as referred to by Star Wars fans, is a day of celebration for fans of the nearly 50-year-old movie franchise. Even though the first Star Wars movie came out 47 years ago in 1977, the franchise is still going strong, with Disney Plus shows such as Andor and The Mandalorian giving fans of the franchise a new look that isn't centered around the story of the Skywalkers. Star Wars has also taken a spin in the animation realm as well, with shows such as Rebels, The Bad Batch, and the groundbreaking Clone Wars series. Something fans love about Star Wars is how many unique characters there are within the universe. From the lovable Wookiee Chewbacca to the crime lord Jabba the Hutt, Star Wars fan Alexis Bruno loves how different every character is from one another.
Jabba the Hutt's kind of my favorite. He's kind of underrated. A lot of people don't really like him. I like how Star Wars characters are always made to a distinct look. I feel like a lot of movies, they just kind of do regular human-like characters, but Star Wars also has different features to them and they kind of mix stuff together. So that's why I do like Jabba the Hutt a lot.
Even though Star Wars does have its fair share of human characters, there's a good mix to keep viewers of whatever Star Wars show or movie they're watching on the edge of their seats. This May the 4th, Star Wars fans are being treated with a short animated series titled Tales of the Empire. The series will follow Barriss Offee, a former Jedi who betrayed them in the Clone Wars, and Morgan Elsbeth, who was first introduced in Season 2 of The Mandalorian and was then an antagonist during the Ahsoka series. Even if you've never watched Star Wars, there's no better time than starting your fandom on May the 4th. So, Emily, what's your favorite Star Wars movie or show?
That's a good question, Dylan. As we all know, in Focus and other classes that I'm in, I'm a big fan of Adam Driver. So any of the movies that include Adam Driver, I will watch them. That's really the only reason that I watched the entire Star Wars movie series was because I wanted to get to the movies with Adam Driver. But, you know, in watching all those, I think I ended up really liking most of them. My favorite characters, though, besides Adam Driver being Kylo Ren, are the Ewoks. They are very... I love Endor. But I haven't watched the show for Endor yet. Have you?
Oh, no. I don't even think that's like considered part of like the official. I think it's like a spinoff.
Oh, is it?
Something else, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I think that it's worth a watch if it's all about the Ewoks. I'll watch it if the Ewoks are in it.
I might have to check it out. Like, I'm a big Star Wars fan, and that's something I've never really gotten to.
What's your favorite Star Wars movie?
My favorite Star Wars movie is probably Revenge of the Sith. It wasn't at first. It was Empire Strikes Back at first. But after watching the Clone Wars series, it just gives so much detail into Obi-Wan and Anakin's relationship that seeing Anakin turn to the dark side for the first time after like having experienced their relationship for 6+ seasons, it just makes it so much more upsetting to see. And also Padme dying too, you get more into their relationship in Clone Wars too. I really think Clone Wars elevates that movie to a completely different level.
Now, have you watched Ahsoka yet?
Yes, I have.
What are your feelings on that one?
I thought it was all right. I really liked Star Wars Rebels, which was kind of like the prelude to Ahsoka. But it was cool to see characters like Ezra Bridger come back, stuff like that. Cool to see Ahsoka get fleshed out in live action because we only got very little of her in The Mandalorian.
And The Mandalorian has a big fan base because of Baby Yoda. Mm-hmm. What are your feelings on Baby Yoda and all of the excitement that goes around him on this May the 4th?
Yeah, he's very cool. Finding out his name in season 2, which actually Ahsoka was the one who told the Mandalorian what Baby Yoda's name was, which was Grogu. He's such a fun character. It was really unexpected. I remember watching the first ever episode of The Mandalorian with my dad while I was still in high school. So seeing him pop up, seeing the same species as Yoda was just something I was never expecting to see in a show about a bounty hunter.
My mom, she's not the biggest Star Wars fan, but she sends me Baby Yoda memes whenever she can. So I can see that he's reached outside the realm of Star Wars as well.
Yeah, Baby Yoda, even I like have a pajama shirt that's just Baby Yoda. It says I'm all ears.
Have you ever read or looked at a newscast and wondered who's behind the story? I got to sit down with some former Bulldogs and figure out what their positions are in the industry.
Fresno State is known for turning out top-tier talent. From names like Aaron Judge, the Carr brothers, and Paul George, Bulldog alums are everywhere, and quite a few are actually in your local newsrooms.
You gotta use the logic of new, now, next.
Holden Wheeler graduated in the spring of 2023 and is now the producer for CBS 47 Eyewitness News This Morning. Holden is the overnight producer, meaning his duties take place while most of us sleep.
Basically, what I need to do is go through the shows from the day before, look at what's still useful, and decide what I'm going to run from those stories, take those stories, and then basically upsell them, make them new.
Holden works with his anchors, fellow producers, and reporter to make sure the show goes smoothly. Holden also works with his production team, which is where former Bulldog Iris Zuniga Soto works.
What I do is I go into the actual studio and I do their in-house operations broadcasting. So rather than going out to the field like a Photog would, I would do their in-house graphics, in-house audio, camera, etc.
Iris is also in charge of editing stories for the show, as well as doing in-studio camera work. Another aspect of the newsroom is the digital team. Digital works to put web stories together and exclusive online interviews. That is where you can find recent Fresno State grad Marco Rosas.
One thing I love about my job is I really get to affect some people on a level that you really just wouldn't in any other profession.
Marco not only writes stories for the web, but also conducts interviews, and some stories even make it to air. This is another important aspect of a newsroom because it gives the audience another way to interact with local news. All of these folks got their start right here in Fresno State in our MCJ department. And these three are just a small number of the fantastic reporters, photographers, web writers, and more throughout the nation. So the next time you watch your local news, keep in mind a former Bulldog might be behind the story. Reporting in Fresno, Emily Crabtree, Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, 90.7 KFSR.
You know, Dylan, it was really nice to get to sit down and talk with some of those former Bulldogs and see what life has been doing for them in the industry and seeing what it's like post-grad for them. So now that we've talked to them, what are some of your plans after graduation and beyond?
So starting in June to August, I'll be heading down to Pasadena for an internship with the baseball team. I'll be pretty much like their beat writer. After that, I don't know what I'm going to be doing, but I know what I'm doing in the summer is such a great experience, and I don't think I can get that right away from a job. So I'm excited. How about you?
Well, I am planning on still working with KC24, CBS 47 like I do right now. We don't know quite what capacity that's in. I'm hoping to get a job reporting with them, but we'll see how that goes. If not, I'm happy in my production positions. I love my coworkers and getting to do the news day in, day out. I think it's a really fun experience, and taking what I've learned at Fresno State and using it in the real world is a lot of fun for me to see it all come to life.
How about your dream job? Where do you want to be in like 10, 15 years?
Oh, that's a good question. 10, 15 years, it's a long way down the road, but hopefully reporting in a station that I have a lot of enjoyment out of in a community that that I really like, whether that's Fresno or somewhere else, I don't know. But I think that just getting to work with a community that wants to pay attention to the news and know what's happening, I think would be the goal, to see how I can inform the public out there.
For me, being opinion editor for the Collegian this one semester, mesh that with my love of sports. I want to be a sports columnist, just writing about what the fans need to know about and why they need to know it. I think that's super important. There's a lot of uninformed sports fans out there that really kind of annoy me on social media. So my goal as a columnist would be make all the fan bases as informed as possible.
Do you have a specific team that you're wanting to be aligned with?
Picture any team, just not the Dodgers or the Vegas Golden Knights.
No, you're not a fan of those. I do know that about you.
In March, Fresno State and athletic director Terry Toomey parted ways after 6 years. After hiring a men's basketball coach, Fresno State is still looking for an AD. We reached out to the office of the president for comment, and this is what they sent us. The statement says, quote, "We have launched a nationwide search for a successor, which is currently underway. Rob Acunto has been named as the interim AD. We don't have any additional information to provide at this time," end quote.
The Fresno State men's basketball team is going to look a lot different next season. Earlier this month, the Bulldogs hired Vance Wahlberg as the next head coach. Wahlberg and his staff already made some moves in the transfer portal. On Thursday, Junior College National Player of the Year Amar Aguilar committed to Fresno State. The sharpshooter averaged 22.7 points per game on 51.5% shooting from the field and 42.5 shooting from three this past season with Triton College in Illinois. Aguilar also averaged 4.5 rebounds and 2.4 assists per game as his team went 34-3 on the season. The 6'5" wing will have a chance to carve out a significant role on a team that lost all of its starters from a year ago. Dylan, this is a huge get for the basketball program. What do you think Amar will bring to the team, and how will he be featured in Wahlberg's dribble drive offense?
Yeah, I think since he was the national player of the year for junior colleges is a huge get. He already has experience playing at the college level, and that's what they need. They lost pretty much their entire team except Jalen Weaver. I think since he's a good shooter, he's an obvious replacement of Xavier Ducell, who recently transferred to Nevada. Also, Isaiah Hill and Donovan Yap as well both can shoot. Hill graduated, and then Donovan Yap also transferred within the Mountain West as he's going to San Jose State. But this is what they've been lacking, a player who they can go to when they need a bucket. Last year, we didn't really have that one guy who they can go to. Sometimes it was Isaiah Hill, sometimes it was Xavier Ducell. They didn't have a consistent player, and that's what you need at this level of basketball. Someone who can rely on like a closer pretty much, who can just hit those clutch shots, just absolutely silence the crowd when you're on the road. That's what they lack. Emily, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that Vance Wahlberg has a good amount of people that he can still bring to the table. And I think that Aguilar would be a great testament to it if he pans out the way that we think he will. And if he can bring the game the way that we want it to, I think Wahlberg has solidified himself as a good coach for picking team players. So I think it'll be interesting to see how the season pans out.
Fresno State said goodbye to a legend in the community this past month. Longtime Bulldog baseball fan Inman Lawrence Cardell Perkins passed away on April 7th at the age of 83 years old. Al Scott tells us more on Inman and his love for his Diamond Dogs.
For over 50 years, Inman Perkins and his wife Donna attended Bulldog baseball game and cheered on the dog. He even started chants to get the team going.
My grandma and him were at a baseball game one day, and my grandma's like, "Hey, go do a cheer." And he's like, "What? They don't do cheers at baseball." And all of a sudden, he went up there and did Bulldog spell out, and the players came out and gave him a round of applause, and he's been there ever since.
During his life, Perkins worked for the IRS, the Fresno Bee, and the San Jose Mercury News. He was also a tour guide at the Fresno Chaffee Zoo, teaching kids about all different kinds of animals. He is most known, though, for his beacon of positivity that he brought to those around him.
There's no stat to quantify how many Bulldog comeback victories he spurred or how many priceless memories he made for young people who wanted to come back and see him lead that cheer again. Just a really special man who gave us something nobody else could.
Inman didn't play a single inning for the Bulldogs, but he's been a fixture here at Pepine Field for decades, supporting his team, leading the Red Wave in charge, and supporting just good Bulldog baseball. He would sit here in Section L, Row 2 with his wife, Donna. And as Inman would like to say, it's a great day to be a Bulldog.
Head coach and former catcher Ryan Overland says Inman has left a lasting impression on the program.
The energy and in the stands and at every single game, the way that he was, that's an impact as big as out of anybody in this program, the amount of time and what he did, you know, in his time here. So obviously one we've been missing for a while out here.
Inman was the ultimate fan and the ultimate embodiment of Bulldog spirit. From Pete Biden Field, Al Scott, Fresno State Focus.
The funeral will take place on Tuesday, May 21st at Whitehurst Sullivan Burns and Blair Funeral Home. The service will begin at 11 a.m. and is open to the public. Guests are asked to wear red and white or any Fresno State attire, an embodiment of Inman's Bulldog spirit.
Turning to the weather now, today's high is 74 in the Fresno area. There will be a slight chance of rain in the evening and during the night, so just keep that in mind if you have any late night plans. Maybe you're heading out overnight to go jet out for the weekend. But due to that rain overnight, we will see a cooling trend going into Sunday with a high of 68 degrees. There was also a high wind advisory earlier this week in the Tehachapi area that has since expired, so you should be good to go. But it is going to be a nice breezy weekend to get out and enjoy the outdoors, and any celebrations going on this weekend for Cinco de Mayo, which is happening tomorrow, May 5th. So get out there and have some fun.
As Emily mentioned, tomorrow's everybody's favorite holiday, Cinco de Mayo. This day represents Mexico's victory over the French at the Battle of Puebla in 1862. People who celebrate the holiday usually eat food and listen to music. Many students at Fresno State celebrate Cinco de Mayo, like kinesiology major Sylvia Gonzalez.
Hang out with family, have a good time.
Sounds like it should be a nice sunny day tomorrow. Emily, do you have any plans to celebrate?
Not that I know of right now. I might have some people who are celebrating, might invite me over later, but as of right now, I don't have too much going on for Cinco de Mayo. Do you have anything going on, Dylan?
Not really. Probably just hang out with my family like I do on any like normal weekend day. My dad will probably barbecue, but probably just watch baseball, you know, like I do in a typical day in May.
Hopefully the plans will get a little bit more exciting for us for this Cinco de Mayo. I think the last time I really celebrated Cinco de Mayo was maybe in school. There was like parties and stuff at school for it, but I don't think that I've ever had something outside of school happening for Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, same for me. I never really like celebrated it with my family. I just remember like the school parties I had in elementary school. Like people would bring a bunch of candy and stuff. So it was always fun. It's always fun to see people passionate about celebrating holidays that mean a lot to them.
Maybe we should get more into it next year. Maybe this year. We've got time. We can get it together.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of time, graduation is only a couple weeks away. Are you going to miss Fresno State, Dylan?
Some of it I'm going to miss, some of it I'm not. The thing I'm going to miss most is working at the Collegian. I've been there for four semesters now. I was a contributor my first, then reporter, and now I'm finishing off as opinion editor. Just the relationships I've made there have really been so amazing. I really can't thank the Collegian enough. Also, keep an eye out for a story that I will be writing talking about how much the Collegian meant to me. So yeah, just mostly the Collegian. How about you?
I think I won't miss the homework too much, but I'm definitely going to miss the people. I've met a lot of great people over the past four semesters that I've been here. I've made some really good connections at my time at Fresno State. And so I think that meeting them and having all this fun that I've had in a college setting, I'm going to miss it a lot. And I think that, you know, it's going to be weird going from day-to-day life where I'm not doing work and school. I'm just doing work and school's just a distant memory. So,
yeah.
But I am excited to graduate, you know, graduating in 2020 from high school. This is the first graduation that I'll really have that feels like a real graduation. So I am excited about that. At the same time, again, I am going to miss Fresno State.
Yeah, same for me. I also graduated high school in 2020. Didn't have a graduation, so it's going to be nice to be able to have my family there watch me accomplish something. I'm a third generation Fresno State student, so it's going to be fun to see my grandma there too. And I've also been going to school pretty much every day since I was five. And this will be the first time after I graduate that I'm not going to be like on a schedule. So that's something I'm looking forward to see how I adapt to that. And I'm excited for the challenge.
I think it'll be nice to not have to bounce back and forth between everything. I mean, I go to work at 4 a.m. and then I come back home and then I have class at 11. So it'll be nice when I have enough time to do the things that I like doing. But also, you know, it is going to be sad to not have that routine and have to get into a whole new routine. But it'll be a lot of fun, I think, to see where life takes us afterwards. But going back to what you said about your grandma being there and being a third generation Fresno State student, I guess I'm the second because my dad graduated from Fresno State in 2007. And so I will be the only other Bulldog in my family graduating. And so I think just seeing my family there and seeing them watch me graduate, this will be my third time graduating technically, but really my like first big graduation. So seeing them all there and getting to actually come to my graduation where it's not COVID related is going to be really nice, and getting to see all their faces and everything like that. And it's nice that Fresno State offers to not have a limit on how many people can come to graduation, because you can have whoever you want.
Yeah, I remember I went to my brother's high school and it was only like a limit, which was annoying because I couldn't bring like my grandma from Bakersfield. So I'm excited to see like all of them there with me.
And get to be with all of our classmates again.
Yeah, see them one last time.
That wraps up our show for the day. For more content, visit FresnoStateFocus.com.
Today's episode of Fresno State Focus Radio Edition was produced by Professor Hanaya Oya for the Department of Media, Communications, and Journalism. Our stories and interviews were produced and edited by Al Scott.
This program is produced in collaboration with 90.7 KFSR. For Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, I'm Emily Crabtree.
And I'm Dylan Gonzalez. May the 4th be with you.
KFSR presents Fresno State Focus, Radio Edition, Saturday mornings at 5. For a complete program schedule, visit KFSR.org.